Today's scripture comes from Mark, two stories in Mark, and we're going to get into that right now. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he had said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to one another, "How can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Then, when they came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes. I want you to circle the word "then," or just highlight the word "then" in that scripture, because we're going to talk about that. Now we're going to jump over a few pages if you're following in your Bible to Mark 6, 45 through 53 and read another story about another storm. Immediately, he had made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he sent the multitude away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And I want you to circle "when," or just highlight that word "when" in that scripture. We talked about the "then" in the last story, and the "when" in this story. And we're going to kind of talk about the "then" and the "when" today. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go on road trips. How many of you went on road trips or take your kids on road trips now? We're in America, that's kind of what we do, right? We just do road trips, and road trips are fun. I remember as a little kid, my parents loved this place called Cherokee, North Carolina. Some of you may have been there, some of you may have heard of it. It's way southwest North Carolina. Just over the mountain is Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So every time we would go to Cherokee, North Carolina, we'd go see Dollywood and Gatlinburg. But on these road trips, as I was growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of money, so we didn't like stay in hotels, so we camped. And I think I have a picture. Yes, this is 1991. This is what the Davis family road trips kind of look like. Remember that Astro van specifically? We probably had that thing for about 5 years. My dad loved the Astro van. It wasn't a minivan. Don't you dare call that thing a minivan, because it was an Astro van. The Davis men do not drive minivans. But he loved the Astro van. So Cherokee, North Carolina was about 10.5 hours away. And it seemed like about 8 hours into that trip, I'd ask my parents that famous question. Do you know what that question is? Are we there yet? It was about 8 hours in. We were probably near Bristol, Tennessee. I don't know if you know Bristol, Tennessee. If you've been on 81, you've been through it. But somewhere around Bristol, Tennessee, I would ask that famous question, "Are we there yet?" Because I was tired, I was bored, I didn't know what to do. But when I asked that question, "Are we there yet?" I knew we weren't there yet. Like, I could see that we weren't there yet. I didn't know we were in Bristol, Tennessee, but I knew we weren't to Cherokee, North Carolina. I knew we weren't there yet, but that's not the point. The point is, I knew we weren't there yet, but the point is, I've done everything I know how to do on this road trip. I'm just bored. I've watched the Lion King VHS tape twice. My parents were like high tech back then. They took the spare bedroom TV. It had one of those built-in VCRs. They'd stick it between their two seats, and me and my brother would play Nintendo and watch movies all the way down on the road trips. And my brother, he loved the Lion King, and we watched that movie probably 3,000 times growing up. But so on this road trip, we watched The Lion King twice. I had, back in the days, we didn't have iPods. We didn't have CD players. We had tape, Sony Walkman tape players. And on that trip, I listened to my Guns N' Roses tape two or three times. I've counted mile markers on the way down. Heck, me and my brother even played the travel version of Connect Four three or four times. I was bored. I knew we weren't there yet, but I just didn't know what else to do. So I'd ask that famous question, "Dad, are we there yet?" And he was getting frustrated at this point because my dad's not a patient man and road trips were not his thing until we got there. And he would say, "No, child, we're not there yet. Stop asking me that question." And that's what I remember most about my road trips. My question is to you today, have you ever asked God that question? Have you ever asked God, "Are we there yet?" Even though we know the answer, even though we know we're not there yet. We know we're not there yet, but the point is we've done everything we know how to do, and we ask God that question, "God, are we there yet?" You see, this journey called life that we're all on, it's like a road trip. We're on our way somewhere God told us to go, but we're not there yet. But we think in the middle of this road trip, this journey of life, we ask the question, "Are we there yet? God, are we there yet? I've done everything I know how to do. I've come to church an average of three times a month. I read my Bible almost every day. I joined a Live Like You Are Dying small group. Heck, I might even lead a small group next time Pastor Fred asks me to do one." The point is, we've done everything we know how to do as Christians sometimes, but we're still not where we need to be. We're still not to the other side. And we ask God that question, "Are we there yet?" And of course the answer is no. We know we're not there yet. But we ask ourselves, "What am I going to do now, God? What am I going to do now? I don't know what else to do." So here's the question I want us to look at today. It's going to go on the screen. So here's the question that we're going to talk about today. What do you do when you're not where you used to be, but you're not where you're supposed to be? What do you do in the meantime? You know you're not where you used to be. You know you're not over here where you used to be. But you know you're not over here yet to the other side where you're supposed to be. And this point of time in between there, that journey, is called the meantime. It's what I call the meantime. We know we're not where we used to be. And some of us have come a long way. We've come a long way from where we used to be. I know personally I've come a long, long way from where I used to be. But I know deep down inside my heart I'm not all the way over here where I'm supposed to be. And the question is, what do we do in the meantime? And that's what we're going to talk about today. What do we do in the meantime? You see, here in America, not much is made of the meantime. History does not record the meantime. History records highlights. If you turn on SportsCenter in the morning, you don't see the meantime. SportsCenter shows highlights. We don't watch sports athletes sleeping. We don't watch athletes eating breakfast on SportsCenter. We see them doing incredible athletic feats like hitting grand slams or making a 60-yard pass or blocking a goal. That's what we see. That's what, as in America, we are such a highlight-oriented culture, and that's all we really talk about. It's all we record. That's all we show on television is highlights. But in life, we're taught a few things. We're taught to aspire. We're taught to be successful. We're taught to climb the ladder. And we obsess over the other side. We obsess about getting over here to the other side. So my question is, what do you do when you're not on the side where you used to be? You're not over here where you used to, but you're not at the other side yet. What do you do in the meantime? Folks, let me tell you this. This meantime matters. It really does. Because if the meantime didn't matter, God wouldn't allow us to go through it. We would just jump from highlight to highlight to highlight. But the meantime matters, because if it didn't, God wouldn't have us there. This meantime, the time we go through from seasons of life, from point to point, matters. It's very important. But when I read these two stories in Mark that we just read, and I see the word "then" that I had you circle, and I see the word "when" that I heard you circle, then they came to the other side, and when they had crossed over, the problem with the "then" and the "when" is this. Nobody knows when the "then" is. We don't know what those two periods of time are. The Bible in those stories does not give us a timeline of how long in both storms it took those guys to get from one side to the other side. It It doesn't record that. We don't know how much time it took. There's best guesses. There's estimations. But nobody knows for sure how long it took to get from this side to the other side. It doesn't say how many hours. It doesn't say how many days. It doesn't say how many weeks that boat ride took. We don't know. We just don't know. So what are we going to do in the meantime when we don't know how long the meantime is going to be? I've been learning recently in my own personal life that if you're not real comfortable, if you're going to be in a relationship with God, like most of us are, and you're not real comfortable with the unknown, then you're not going to be real comfortable in God's boat, because life's just uncertain. There's some things in life that are just uncertain. There's certain things in life that are certain. Like God's going to provide shelter. He's going to provide food. There's things that are certain. But there's things that are uncertain as well. And we're in this journey of life. We're in this boat ride from one side to the other. There's a lot of unknowns. And we need to get real comfortable with not knowing all the answers on the journey.